good to be back together to praise the Lord. What a reunion. This is a little bit of microcosm of what it's going to be like on that big day when we are reunited with all of our loved ones in heaven. I got up this morning early because I've been pumped and waiting for this time, as Matthew has, as we all have. And the sun was coming up, and it was beautiful, cool, and crisp weather, a little wind, the birds were singing. And my first thought was, like, this could be the day the Lord returns. But please, Lord, let us get through worship service of you first. We've worked hard for this. This building, we've kept it clean, but it is clean now. Thanks to Joe and Ray and so many people, we just appreciate all that you've done. In the month of May, on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings, we've spent 8 lessons, messages, talking about the Word of God is like a lion. A saying from Charles Spurgeon, the great evangelist, who said, the Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend the lion. You just have to let a lion loose, and a lion will defend itself. We know what that means. God's Word is sufficient in and of itself. But in those 8 weeks, we looked at just different vantage points of how the Word is important in our lives. And so this morning, as we transition from that major theme to unstoppable God, we are going to look at how God works in His church, in His people, and over the next 4 weeks, the unstoppable reality of who God is. As Steve said earlier, a lot is going on in this world, and there is hard times that we don't know what to say, but I will say this from the book of Psalm 133, and the church should shine in this area, how good and pleasant it is when the people of God dwell together in peace and joy and unity. Amen? And the church needs to lead us in this direction as we point everyone to Jesus Christ. So, as we jump into our text, if you have your Bibles or your phones, you're encouraged to turn to Acts chapter 5. But what I want to do this morning is boil down, in a short sentence, the book of Acts. The book of Acts has 28 chapters, and you cannot read the 28 chapters of Acts without realizing one theme is commented on and addressed again and again and again. And that is the reality of who Jesus is, what He has done, and what He will do. That He is talked about in terms of His sacrifice. He is talked about in terms of the death. It is talked about the burial. It is talked about the resurrection. It is talking about His return, and sometimes it puts that all together. It is clear that the major theme of the book of Acts is to highlight who Jesus Christ is to the church and to the world. And here's how I worked at summing up what the book of Acts actually means for me. I hope that it means something to you. To summarize 28 chapters in the book of Acts, the empowering of God's people for the unstoppable proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah. That is the big picture of what God is doing. Now, we all have little pictures in our own lives, and that little picture is stuff that we experience in day-to-day living, moment by moment, and sometimes we miss the big picture because of the little picture that we're dealing with on any given moment. But I want to stress that no matter what is going on in the world, as the scriptures say, it will go from bad to worse, and we shouldn't be surprised we have to understand there is a big picture. There were a lot of struggles and strife and opposition to the apostles and the disciples, just like Jesus faced opposition and struggle in his own life. But there was a big picture, and Jesus knew that big picture better than anyone else. And I want to say to you today, let us all live in our day-to-day moments loving, showing kindness, giving justice, being merciful, lifting all up. But don't miss the big picture of what God is doing, because that right there is the big picture of what God was doing 2,000 years ago. It is still the big picture of today, and this world and even the power of Satan can take our focus off of the big picture of what God is doing if we let him. There is a big picture. The empowering of God's people for the unstoppable, and I use that word because it's in that song, but it's true, and you're going to see it in our text this morning. The unstoppable proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah. I know in my own life, some of the things that this COVID-19 has taught me is that I will never, ever take for granted being able to assemble with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I never, ever will get up on a Sunday morning with a take it or leave it. Oh, I'll just wait till next Sunday, or be lukewarm about being able to assemble with people who love the Lord and worship the Lord. Now, I know we're going to have our mountain peaks and we'll have our valleys. Sometimes we'll shout, sometimes we'll clap, sometimes we'll hallelujah, and other times, you know, we're going to be like hanging in there to do our very best to show the joy that we should have. But this is the big picture. And I think another thing that God has taught me is, and I think it's true for all of us, that it is so important that the church never lose its focus and its purpose to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And all that means, and pray with me, that this is a revival for the world, for our country, for the churches throughout Michigan, and for our own lives and our own church. Just revival that I am going to focus on the big picture and be a part of, knowing God has empowered me through the washing of my soul by the blood of Jesus to speak in his name. And I know what I will speak, and that is who Jesus is, what he has done, and what he has accomplished. And that will be my boast. That will be what I will be so bold in. And we look at that from a text of Acts chapter 5. Now, I want to give some of the backdrop, and there's a lot of history in this backdrop, but basically the church in the book of Acts begins. It's in its infancy. And what we see is the movement of the Holy Spirit on the people of God. They are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as the chapters develop, we see powerful, unique, and mighty things happening that really cause people to stand up and realize there is a movement of God taking place by his power through his people, and it cannot be denied. We see that in the very beginning of the book of Acts chapter 5, when everybody is selling their possessions and giving it to the church so they can meet the needs of everybody. And Ananias and Ananias and Sapphira sell a piece of land. And in their hearts, they hold back some of the profit. And they come before Peter and they give and act like this was the full amount. And Peter says, "What have you done? What has moved you? How have you allowed Satan to work in your life to pretend that you are giving all that you got for the land and yet you're holding some back? you've not lied to us men, you've lied to God. You have lied to the Holy Spirit. Wasn't the money yours to do with whatever you wanted? And Ananias drops dead. I'm glad it's not working that way right now. Or it seems not to be. There was a powerful and unique movement. And people heard about this because next, his wife Sapphira, she comes in. And she, yeah, that was the full amount. And she drops dead. Is dragged out and buried by her husband. And then the disciples begin healing people. People that are sick are healed. People who have demonic possession are healed. And people are beginning to listen to the message behind all the healing and what the apostles are doing. And the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, made up of 71 men and count, including the high priest, is made up of a political religious party, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And Sadducees, they don't believe in resurrection, but the Pharisees do. But that year, Annas, the high priest, he was a Sadducee. And these 71 men are all worked up because they become very jealous of what God is doing through Peter and the disciples, because the people are turning to the message they are proclaiming, and that message is the new life that's found in Jesus Christ. And so they put them in prison, and an angel comes, unlocks the prison door, and takes them out in a miraculous way. The guards are still there. The guards don't know that they're gone. The next morning, they are going to have Peter and the other disciples brought before the Sanhedrin. And they find out they're not there. And they're like, what's happened? We've got guards. They're still in position. Where did these disciples go? And then someone comes in and says, these men that you locked up last night, they're out in the temple courts, all of them. And they're once again preaching this Jesus. And in the midst of all this, the Sanhedrin has said to the disciples, we order you not to speak in the name of Jesus. We command you not to speak in the name of Jesus. Quit trying to make us guilty of this man's blood. Their answer was, you decide for yourself, but it is our desire and obedience to obey God rather than man. Think of the big picture there and the little picture in each one of their lives. Whether you were a part of the Sanhedrin, being accused of being guilty of the death of Jesus Christ, guilty of that act, or you're one of the apostles, disciples, and you are preaching in the name of the Lord, going against a very powerful force in these 71 men who reigned and ruled over the Jewish people. And so what happens is, Peter and the disciples are brought again before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin is so worked up that it says they had in their hearts to kill them, kill each and every one of them, for what they were doing and what they were saying. And then a voice of reason on the Sanhedrin speaks up. But a Pharisee who does believe in the resurrection, but a Pharisee named Gamaliel. Gamaliel means God is my recompenser. What does recompenser mean? It simply means his name stands for the fact that God is the one who will restore any loss or harm in his life. That's what Gamaliel means. G- God will take care of me. God will give me recompense for any harm or loss or wrongdoing that I'm experiencing in my life. He was a teacher of the law, was honored by all the people. He stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men, the disciples, Peter, be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Because their heart is, we're going to kill them." But he says, "Hold on. I'm one of you. You need to consider very carefully what you are about to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody. And about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed and all his followers were dispersed. And it came to nothing." That's the first example. Second example, after him, Judas, the Galilean, appeared in the days of the census and led a band in a revolt. He too was killed and all his followers scattered. So Gamaliel points to these two episodes that they were familiar with, and most scholars think that these two events happened around or near the birth of Jesus. These big issues and these big uprisings. And he says, consider these two examples. These two men, they led a movement, and they had some followers, and there was some traction. But if you was to sum up and carve on their tombstone an epitaph, it would read, "He was killed and his followers were dispersed." How would you like that for an epitaph on your gravestone? That's what you were remembered for. He was killed and his followers were dispersed. Oh, I want some better epitaph than that, but that's what Gamaliel is saying. Look at these two movements. They came to nothing. In fact, he says here in this next verse, "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin," what does it say? "It will fail." It will fail. And my point here is for all of us, whatever God is involved in, there's always a bigger picture than most people see. We have to see the big picture that God shows us in Scripture. And that's what Gamaliel is doing. He's saying, look, you are focused right now because you are jealous in what cannot be denied in what these men have done. They have healed a man that had been crippled all of his life for 40 years, and now this man is hopping around, jumping and praising God. It can't be denied. There's a bigger purpose. I'm like everybody else. I get focused on the little picture. But I need and you need to live under the big picture. That God in His own way, in His own providence, and in His own empowering might and purpose, no matter what the activity may be, God will work it out His way. And there's not much, if anything, that we can do to change that in any way. All we can do is be God's people. Gamaliel says, leave them alone. Let them go, because the past has shown the leaders are killed, their followers are dispersed, and as the big picture of history has shown, it comes to nothing. And I believe that Gamaliel had in his heart, if this is true for them, it's probably very true for the movement of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been killed. He was the leader. people were rallying to him. These are his disciples. If it's not of God, if it's of man, it will come to nothing. And I think that's a general spiritual principle. If it's of God, it's unstoppable. If it's of man, it falls apart. But if it is from God, says Gamaliel, you will not be able to stop these men. There we see that the people of God are unstoppable because they have been empowered by the Spirit of God. And threats can come from the outside world. Suffering and opposition can come. Struggles will be real. But you cannot stop the people of God that have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you are Jesus's, if he is your Messiah, if you have the new life, you are unstoppable because God is unstoppable. And God has declared you, like he did them, unstoppable. You can do everything you want, no matter how much power you think you have as the Jewish ruling council. No matter how arrogant that has made you, you have no power in the big picture. Oh, you can have your little picture, and you can do this, and you can do that. But God has it worked out, and you cannot stop these men. Isn't it a wonderful reality to know that you are absolutely unstoppable? So if we are led and guided by the Holy Spirit, we are unstoppable. What happens when you live out the little picture? You end up without even realizing it. And you might be someone that's devoted your life, like the Sanhedrin, to God. You focus on the little picture and you end up fighting against God and you don't even realize it. I may make a lot of mistakes in my life, and as you as well. But the one mistake that I don't want to make is I don't want to ever be fighting against God. I want to be in alignment with God. And I want us to see that this morning. Live always with the big picture of what God is doing in your life and through you in the lives of other people. And keep on keeping on in the name of the Lord. Don't get discouraged, although you will a little. Don't lose hope, although it will be something that you will be challenged with from time to time. Don't live in despair. Don't live in regret. Don't live in fear. Don't live in anxiety. Rely on what God has told you he is doing through you. He lives in you. And he will do through you more than you can imagine and more than you will even ask. God's people are unstoppable. Doesn't matter what society does. Doesn't matter what powers do. You and I, the church of the living God, is unstoppable. And what we are most unstoppable in is our devotion and our passion and our desire to make Jesus Christ known to the world that he is the Messiah. We don't have to defend it. We don't have to convince anybody. We just proclaim it, that there is new life in the name of Jesus. And so as we leave this place today, and as we go into this world in the days and years ahead, let us proclaim the unstoppable truth that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that new life, everlasting life, is found in Him and His name only. God's people are unstoppable. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. His speech persuaded them. I think to myself, what if His speech wouldn't have persuaded them? Man, the disciples, the apostles, it would have been their last day. Their lives would have been over. But I believe the providence of God is behind this big picture and behind His people. It's not their time to go. It's not their time to go. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles back in, and what do? They had them flogged. Remember what He said? Leave these men alone. Let them go. If it's of man, it will fail. If it's of God, you're fighting God, and you can't stop it. You can't stop them. But they still had to get in that flogging. Now, there's two types of flogging in the Bible. There's the Roman flogging, and there's this Jewish ruling council type of flogging by the Jewish people. The Roman flogging was the most severe. It had all the leather strips. It had the bone. It had the iron balls. And whenever you were flogged by the Roman Empire, most of the time, or at least a lot of the time, you didn't make it to the crucifixion because you were beat to death. But the Jews, they were the 40 lashes minus one. They would just take these strips of leather and they would whip you real good. 39 lashes. But they were flogged. Peter and the apostles with the message that God had given them. These men who were unstoppable were flogged. They weren't delivered from the flogging. They went through that opposition. They went through that struggle. Then they ordered them, again, not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Do we think that in the world that we live in, we're so far away from the church of the living God being ordered by the worldly powers to be not to speak in the name of the Lord? The Solomon Foundation sent out an email, or actually it was a Facebook message, that the Lewis Street Church of Christ in Little Rock, Arkansas, was firebombed. Attack against the church. They don't know exactly why. But I'll bet you that church is still preaching the good news and the hope and the forgiveness and redemption that's in Jesus Christ. No matter what pain that we have to endure and suffer in this life, it doesn't change what our message is as individuals and as a church, because we're unstoppable. Opposition does not stop God's people. They ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I hope if the day ever comes where you're not able to preach or teach freely and say what needs to be said and what you believe in your heart, and if you're ordered not to speak the name of Jesus, I hope that myself and that you will continue to vigilantly be unstoppable people with that unstoppable message, no matter what it costs us. They were flogged. This wasn't a spanking. This wasn't a little pat on the behind. They were flogged. It was painful. The apostles left the Sanhedrin after being flogged for doing what God wanted them to do, rejoicing. Oh, that's when you see the big picture. And the apostles, they saw the big picture. That's the only way you can go through this kind of stuff in life and leave rejoicing in the moment of being physically hurt, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. The name that is above every name. If they were whipped and punished for carrying out the will of God that He had empowered them to do through His Holy Spirit, then they would rejoice, laugh, smile, be happy, and go out into the world and still do what God had given them to do. again, His name is the focus. Suffering does not stop God's people from focusing on the big picture. Day after day, in the temple courts where they had been arrested and put in jail, in the same temple courts, and from house to house, what's that say? They never stopped teaching. Let us, as a church family, as we begin coming back together week after week, please, I don't know how to say it other than please. Please, Lord, please, Holy Spirit, please, Jesus, please, you in your part, don't let us go back to normal. Don't ever let us go back to normal. Let us be a brighter light than we've ever been to others. Let us reflect Jesus greater than we've ever reflected Jesus. Let us all see that we've got to have skin in the game for making the Messiah known to our community and to our friends and to our family and the world. That's what we are all about. I don't want the message that Jesus is the Messiah to get lost in other things that are important, but they're just not the big picture important. We want everyone to know Jesus as Messiah, and as that happens, hearts change. Hearts change. They continue. Never stop teaching. Never stop proclaiming what the good news. The good news is the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the new life in the name of Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah. God's message is unstoppable. So God's people are unstoppable. Opposition doesn't stop us. Suffering doesn't stop us. Nothing stops the teaching and the message that Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, this world will try. Listen to what David says at his coronation to become king over all of Israel. He writes, "Why do the nations conspire?" This is a quote out of Acts chapter 4. Why do the nations, all of them, conspire and the peoples plot in vain? It's empty plotting, but they try to. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together, but against what? Against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed one. Whether the anointed one in this text is referring to David, and it is, as you go down through this psalm, it's definitely referring to Jesus as well. But this world is rising up against God and against God's Holy One, Jesus Christ. And it stands to reason that this world will rise up in greater degrees against the Lord's church and His people. They say, verse 3, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." I love verse 4. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. Because He is God. And His will and desire to work through His Holy One and His people is unstoppable. No matter what the world will do, God is great. And His will is always accomplished in His purpose and timing. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, and the Lord scoffs. as we have gathered here today, we look forward to more gatherings and more praise and more worship and more people coming to know that Jesus is the Messiah. Focus on that big picture. Let it be what brings you the peace that surpasses understanding. Because in that little picture, it's hard to figure everything out and what to do and what to say. And rely on God. Trust your Heavenly Father. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit that He put in you when you look to Him in faith. Amen? Amen. God be with us as we stand and as we continue to worship your name.